Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to listening to the GamerCore podcast, the podcast that talks the 8-bit shit. This is episode 42, and we are very sorry for last week not having an episode, but I lost it. And, that's my fault. I'm really sorry about that. But as always, it is your nerd, you're going to hear the host of the show. Alongside my wonderful co-host, the host to do the most. First of all, she hosts the show known as the Ladies of Nerdcore, Ashley. Say hello to the people.
Everyone, we totally could have just put up a 20-minute clip of your laugh on loop, and it would have been great.
Look, we're not going to play with that, okay? We're not going to play with that, right?
Oh, come on.
And as always,
come on.
And as always, it's Brad. He's here. Brad.
Hey, you're missing this. Me today, you're like, he's not coming on. Then I show up, just
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Who did it? Yes.
Oh, I'm the only one who has it. I'm the one who did it.
I know. I'm applauding you for doing that. Thank you.
Do it again.
I can't do it anymore, Brad.
Do it again.
Okay, let me see if I can get here. Can you stop asking for my password, iTunes Store? Please.
Yes, all right.
All right. Look, yeah. We apologize a lot because of what happened last week and not having an episode, but, you know, my head has not been in the best shape, like, in the last month or so. And I was the idiot who, sadly, I deleted the episode. I'm an idiot.
Now, Raul, I don't apologize for shit, especially that episode, because it was basically me bitching for 50 minutes on your internet. So, subliminally, I think you deleted it on purpose.
No, I did not. I had to edit ladies to do the transition in there, to put the transition together, and I didn't notice. I had done everything. I had put the effect on the episode and everything for GamerCore. I thought I had exported it. But I didn't export it, and I already had been, like, way into splitting the episode for ladies. And then when I noticed that I didn't export it, I was like, okay, how can I fix this? And I couldn't fix it. I was long gone from being able to recover the episode.
Well, for me, I'm okay with it, because it really was just me bitching for an hour.
Well, yeah.
I don't even remember what happened last week. Axo, better than ever.
Yeah. So, at least it's not going to be a terrible internet this time around. But as always,
pretty good.
Yeah, as always, you know, it's us two here to host the show. Brad and I did an interview with Zach Stentz, from writer of Thor, X-Men First Class, and his new movie that's coming out, Rim of the World. You guys can go listen to that to get ready to watch the film when this podcast comes out. So, guys, go make sure you listen to watch. Watch out, Rim of the World. And I gave the good old email to Danny, and she is going to see if we can get her and Mr. Zach Stentz together to do an episode here for you all.
That was just a fun episode too. So I hope you ladies have fun talking to him.
Definitely.
It was really fun. He was a really cool dude.
Oh, I'm so proud of you guys for accomplishing that. I already spoke with Danny about it, and I want her to have creative control of that episode if we can get it going, just because she has a brilliant mind for film, and I think she can get the best out of them.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
And I think Raul and Alex, Straw Hat Alex, for any of those on Twitter, I think you guys came with some, like, superb questions.
I was not expecting to get out the stuff of Booster Gold, like I said. I said, there's no way this guy's going to talk about Booster Gold, so I don't even know if I should ask him. And, you know, there I go asking him about Booster Gold, and then he was like, hey, if I can't say any, if you ask me something I can't talk about, then I'll just say I can't talk about it. No, the guy split it all out. Basically said the draft is finished, and Warner Brothers, when they want to make the movie, it has a draft already finished for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And,
wow.
I did enjoy my question about Thor Ragnarok.
No, shut up.
That was just a little poke at Raul. Yeah. Like, you know, the original screenwriter for Thor likes Thor Ragnarok, so I mean, what are you bitching for?
Whatever, Brad. Shut up. I don't like that movie. But look, whatever. Look.
Everyone in my house hates that movie too, so you're not alone.
Thank you. Thank you. At least I'm not alone. But look, what did you guys talk about this week on Ladies, Ashley?
We had a good friend of mine from way back in the day, Ollie Pleidel of BabeTalk.tv. He's also on a new podcast called Thank You for Your Love. Him and his partner discuss life in New York City and various topics that are going on in the world. So we talked to him about his background and how he started all this. Then we got into James Charles, him. Then we talked about agreeing to disagree. Can we do that in this political climate?
Mm. All right. Yeah, sounds like a pretty cool conversation. Red, yeah, you better listen to this episode.
We also talked about Disney. That was pretty cool. Ollie is a huge Disney fan, so he did like the best 30-minute spot about Disney I had ever heard in my damn life. It was brilliant. I could have sworn he was getting paid by them.
Yeah. Well, Brad, I don't know.
But it
if
was
we're
a very
be...
fun episode.
Yeah, Brad, I don't know if we're gonna be called Disney shows for having a Disney show on. Brad.
I mean, if we get some Disney ad. Revenue up in here. I'll wear a Goofy hat.
I think that is definitely something we want to see, Brad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Disney, fork over the money. I'll wear a Goofy hat.
All right, well.
During the live show, I will wear that shit.
Yeah, that's incredible, Brad. Yeah,
I'm sure they'll want Goofy talking shit, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, look, talking about the live show, it's rebooted because we got to 10 Patreon supporters, thank you so much for that, guys.
And Roland's hair's getting turned green.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh,
and
I can't wait.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for that, especially our executive producers. You know, we don't just have one anymore. It's actually three now. We have, as always, the OG, Grayson Barker, Warlord Hitman 98 on Twitter, Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram. Now we have Shane, XSRRKK, Twitch on Twitter, and twitch.tv/XSRK. That's where you can find him. And then Journey, aka at Iced Mocha _ Jorn, JOURN. Those are executive producers. Thank you so much for being executive producers of this podcast. And if you're not an executive producer, it's fine. And if you're pledged to the $1 tier, then you get this episode a day early before anybody else does. So you can listen to us a day early. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's awesome. So look, let's go ahead and get into some talk here. What have we been playing this week?
Who wants to go first?
Ashley, you go first.
Hey, I volunteer. I volunteer tribute. I've been kind of playing the same old, same old. I've been getting more into my video games lately, and that feels really great. Lately, it's been a lot of Yakuza 0. I'm still kind of playing that. And I'm still playing my Dragalia Lost. I got all my teams at about 17 or 18,000 in Might. So that's cool. But Yakuza 0 is interesting. I'm still playing the side stories. I actually just completed a side story where I became the most successful host club owner in all of Osaka. That was really weird. I was basically running a hostess club, and it was kind of like Diner Dash. Then I was playing this other mini game in the game that was really funny. You walking by a payphone, and then you answer the payphone not knowing who's calling you. So basically, this is Colin Farrell or Colin whatever's face is in Phone Booth. And he's talking to a mysterious person on the phone, and this person starts asking you to supply them with guns. So you have to go on these really weird side missions where you're going to these odd places to look for, like, really random weapons, like nunchucks. Like, where the hell am I going to find nunchucks? Yeah, but it's been really fun. It's been taking up a lot of my time. I'm hoping to pick up pretty soon, so I'll have more stories about that, hopefully. What have you guys been playing?
Well, first of all, it is now legal to own nunchucks in the state of Arizona, Brad, right?
Fuck yeah. That's why I give them to little kids and watch them beat each other.
Oh my god.
Oh good lord, Brad.
Yes!
I don't think that's something you want to say, Brad. But
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Given minors weapons. Sorry. Yeah. Y'all didn't hear that.
Well, look.
Padded nunchucks. Not the real ones.
No, yeah, the padded ones. So, that yeah, what she said. Wink, wink.
Well, look, I've been playing Pokemon Go as always. That's the only thing I can play out here because internet and stuff. But, shut up.
Lack of.
What's up?
Lack of internet.
Shut up, Brad. Yeah, whatever, Brad. Look, man, all I know is that I've been trying really hard to play. I'm trying to do the Glaceon and Leafeon right now to get those two for my Eevees, Eeveelution collection. And yeah, I've just been playing that and it's been so much fun. Brad, you been playing anything?
Dude, you know, this past 2 weeks have been hectic as hell. I haven't had a chance to play anything, but I did manage to download for free on PlayStation What Remains of Edith Finch. So I do plan on playing that.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Let me open up the Wikipedia. The game centers on the character of Edith Finch, last in the Finch family line, which has a perceived curse that causes all but one member of each generation to die in unusual ways. Edith has returned to her family's home off the coast of the state of Washington, following her mother's death to explore the house they hastily abandoned years before. She learns about her relatives and their deaths by visiting their bedrooms, sealed off and treated as shrines to their memory, with each death played out in a short gameplay sequence to the player. The game is presented as an anthology of these many experiences wrapped in the dramatic retelling of the family's history and fate through Edith's narration.
Damn, that's great. Is that from Annapurna? Brad?
What's that?
Good story.
Is that from Annapurna?
Yes. Annapurna Interactive.
Yeah, so that's the game that was free this month on PlayStation, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. I downloaded it free for PlayStation. Yeah,
that's crazy, man. That sounds like a really, really good game. How far mm-hmm. are you in there right now?
Nothing, I just downloaded it. So I made sure I got it so I could play it.
Okay, well, yeah. I haven't even
done it. That's all I had time for.
So just had the chance to go buy, get the game. Like, haven't even played
it. I got the game. That's the first part of the battle.
Okay, Brad. Okay. all right, Brad. That's great. But look, I was as always. You know, we're gonna give you guys the games that are coming out this weekend. As always, you can go pick up Little Friends, Dogs and Cats on the Switch on May 28th. Brad, do you even have a Switch anymore?
Nope. Haven't seen it in months.
That sucks, Brad. Ashley, you're the only other person who's married here. Does this happen with you, or is this just a special case for Brad over here?
No, it happens to me too, so I'm laughing in condolences to you.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, sadly, both of these don't have a Switch anymore. So there's that. Yeah. But
I'm waiting for the cheaper model to come out.
All right. Yeah, I guess, Brad. Like, so you can keep the cheaper model or you're going to give that one to Brenda.
Yeah. You know how marriage works, buddy.
Amen.
All right. Well, you guys can keep doing that. And I will keep being the bachelor, lonely self that I am. But at least I don't... Well, I don't even have a Switch. What am I talking about?
Yeah. None of us do.
Yeah, none of you guys have a Switch. Ashley has a PlayStation, but she barely even gets on the thing.
Yeah, I think my PlayStation Plus ran out, and I just never renewed it, so I gotta fix that.
All right. Well, what's it called? Let's go ahead and just stop with the nonsense, because there's a show for nonsense. It's not this one. And let's go ahead and talk about the news that we've got here. Ashley, what did you send me to my phone? Oh, good Lord.
I just wanted to update you on my adventures with Pokemon Go.
Yeah? Can I update you with something about Pokemon Go, Ashley?
Yeah.
How about you open the goddamn gift I sent you like months ago? I'm talking like 6 months ago.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Accept my friendship.
Yeah, accept my friendship, damn it. Like, I want to send you more gifts, but you won't open the first gift I sent you from like 8 months ago when I just started playing this game again. God, I was on my first semester of college. Huh?
They updated the camera.
Yes, Ashley, but somehow that's not the button for you to press to open my gift.
I'm trying to find that button right now.
All right.
Oh, there you are.
All right. Well, while you are doing that, let's go ahead and open up here with the news from GameSpot.com. Microsoft and Sony make nice announced partnership for gaming and cloud services from Steve Watts over at GameSpot.com. Let's go ahead and get into this, guys. Microsoft and Sony, the companies behind Xbox One and PS4, respectively, revealed this week that they have established a strategic partnership. The two companies plan on sharing technology and information going forward and build upon shared infrastructures for some of their future initiatives. Nowhere in their announcement are Xbox or PlayStation named, but partnership will specifically focus on consumer entertainment platforms like gaming. Specifically, the agreement memorandum of understanding says that the two will jointly develop future cloud solutions within Microsoft Azure. It also says that Sony will use Microsoft Azure for its own game and content streaming services. Although Sony's PlayStation Now is now mentioned, specifically including a push to build better tools for content creators, the two are also committing to work together on semiconductors and artificial intelligence. PlayStation itself came about through the integration of creativity and technology, Sony President Kenichiro Yoshida said in the announcement. Our mission is to seamlessly involve the platform as one that continues to deliver the best and most immersive entertainment experiences together with a cloud environment that ensures the best possible experience anytime, anywhere for many years. Microsoft has been a key business partner for us through the course of the two companies have also been committing in some areas. I believe that our joint development for future cloud solutions will contribute greatly to the advancement of interactive content. Sony has also been a leader in both entertainment and technology, and the collaboration we announced today builds on the history of innovation, added Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella. Our partnership brings the power of Azure and Azure AI to Sony to deliver new gaming and entertainment experiences for customers. Xbox head Phil Spencer and Nadella also followed up with tweets that stressed the entertainment and gaming aspect of the partnership. Phil Spencer said, excited about the opportunities ahead with Sony for us to pursue our mutual gaming ambitions and delight players around the world. While Nadella said, bringing the power of Azure and Azure AI to Sony to deliver new gaming and entertainment experiences for consumers, and the two are shaking hands in this wonderful picture. This is absolutely history in the making, honestly, guys, and I'm glad that we were finally able to talk about this today, but, this is crazy.
It's something I never thought would happen.
Yeah.
Nintendo must have been kicking their ass for so long they decided to form a union.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking the same thing.
Look. Nintendo's really kicking our ass, man. Let's just share shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we don't know really the specifics. We don't know the actual specifics of all of this, but the fact that the two biggest companies in console have come together to work on cloud services, you know, the next big thing that's going to be hitting the gaming industry. That is incredible. I mean, this is truly gaming history.
incredible, and we're alive to experience it. I'm very excited to see what comes of this. I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be really awesome to hopefully not have to worry about what console your friend has anymore.
Yeah. I can't ask for what we expect of this. I'm just going to say that, you know, this is something to keep your eyes on, because this is going to be really, really interesting, especially because cloud services, like I said, is becoming one of the biggest things that are going to be hitting the industry in like the next 5 years. Brad, I can't get you away from me. You know, sadly, you have every console known to man, and I have the PS4 and the Xbox, so, you know, somehow I'll still have to play with you. But are you excited about something like this?
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right. Well, you know, that's crazy, and things are only going to get bigger, man. What would happen if tomorrow Nintendo says, hey, why didn't you guys announce me for it? I'm doing the same thing with you all.
And then Sony and Xbox be like, shh, go back to your corner.
Come, man.
Can't sit with us.
Could you imagine the three biggest companies? Could you imagine the three biggest companies in gaming just coming together to work on something together?
I think that would be considered a monopoly, but I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Even with PC?
Yeah, because you got PC.
Technically, Disney's a monopoly. They just won't say it.
Yeah. You got the PC, but you also got, you know, the Google Stadia that's going to be coming out. And, you know, well, I believe that Apple was developing a console as well. And, you know, I really do want to see how this works out for the Google Stadia. Because now you have a big competition in your hands.
And Apple also developed Apple TV, and Google had Google Plus, and yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I don't see those making any kind of dent, especially with this kind of partnership.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next one then. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next one, because one of the biggest games is coming to mobile. League of Legends is reportedly headed to mobile from Jeremy Winslow from GameSpot.com. It seems developer Riot Games is looking to bring one of the world's most popular games, the MOBA, League of Legends, to the mobile market. According to Reuters report, a mobile version of League of Legends is reportedly in development. Both Tencent Holdings Limited and Riot did not provide comment on the matter, but Reuters reports that one of the sources said Tencent and Riot have been working on a mobile version of League of Legends for more than a year. A separate source, according to Reuters, says this mobile League of Legends probably won't launch this year. Reuters cites data aggregates Statista, which states that League of Legends raked in 1.4 billion last year, a 21% decrease from the year prior, but a huge sum nonetheless. Bringing League of Legends to mobile, a game with 10 years of history under its belt, would bode well for both Riot and Tencent. As Reuters puts it, mobile games accounted for 57% of video game revenue in China in 2018, and only 36% in the U.S. market. As Newzoo analyst Guaitanai states, League of Legends is not doing as well as it used to, and so Riot badly needs a new way to monetize the game, especially considering that it is Riot's only game. In our most, okay, look, this is something big. I mean, it's a huge game, and the fact that they still haven't capitalized on bringing it to mobile. I mean, look, last week they had the report of Call of Duty coming to mobile. You have Apex looking at wanting to come to mobile too. You have Fortnite on mobile. I mean, the fact that a lot of these games aren't moving to mobile yet is crazy, because, you know, this is a big market, and we've said it 1,000 times, guys. Like, you know, this is a huge market that hasn't been tapped in a while, and I feel like if League of Legends comes over, that's going to be huge for them.
It would be incredible, and honestly, I'm surprised this hasn't happened sooner. That number, though, 57% of video game revenue in China, mobile games.
Mm-hmm. And just like the movie world, the Chinese markets are huge. Like, those are markets you want to hit.
Definitely. We were just having a meeting the other day talking about the company that I work for and their expansion in China. And they were talking about sneakers and how in a couple of years, the amount of people who buy sneakers in China are going to outnumber the combined number in Japan, the US, and all of Europe. And that's just in China.
Yeah. Brad, I know you don't play League of Legends, because I don't play it either, but what do you think about them moving the game over to mobile and making a version for that?
I mean, we all know mobile is probably the biggest competitor to any of the console or handheld games. So it just makes sense. Plus, League of Legends is a huge, huge game, and has been a huge game. So it totally makes sense they'd want to get more people involved.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how the esports league would work on mobile, but I know that would probably continue on in PC, but this would just make it more easier to, you know, interact with people and play League of Legends on another platform that not a lot of people have access to a PC.
It's the same with Fortnite. I mean, mm-hmm. You're not going to have any competitions on cell phones of Fortnite, but it'll get more people involved, and, you know, while mm-hmm. you're bored, you can just play Fortnite.
Mm-hmm. True, I mean...
League of Legends is... This game is a good game to kind of just pick up on the go on a phone, like especially if you're on a train or if you're on the way to work and you're just kind of waiting, you know, for the ride to be over.
Mm-hmm. So this should be interesting. I really do hope it comes to mobile. Maybe I'll finally play the game if it comes to mobile, because I don't have a good PC to play League. And the only League I see is when I watch Nikki stream. She plays League all the time. So... You know, the game looks super confusing to me, but, you know, I'd give it a try if it came to mobile.
I would, too. I would be more enticed to try this game if it was on, you know, my phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, there's another game that I'm really enticed to play, and Jeremy Winslow has all the deets over at GameSpot.com. Until Dawn's developer's new game, Given, gets a release date. We aren't getting another Until Dawn, but developer Supermassive Games' next horror title, The Dark Pictures, Manamidan, has received an official release date. The supernatural horror story will land on August 30th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. The Dark Pictures is an anthology series first unveiled at Gamescom 2018. Manamidan starts as the anthology's first entry. Pre-orders are now available, and doing so secures the curator's cut, which opens new options including alternative paths and a new perspective from unlocked characters, new choices within each scene, and new scenes and secrets. Assessing the additional content requires a full completed playthrough, though. Those who would rather wait won't miss out on the content featured in the curator's cut, as publisher Bandai Namco has confirmed that it will be made available to everyone who owns the game at a later unspecified date. Check out 10 minutes of gameplay below. I'm not going to play the trailer because I do not want to get copyrighted. I just want to see if I can get a nice little description here. No? There's no description in here. So... Great, but look.
I'm looking at the trailer right now with no audio.
Mm-hmm. Let me hold up. Let me search this up. The Dark Pictures, Manamidan. I want to see what this is about, because I am really into the idea of Until Dawn. I just never played it. But as somebody who has played Until Dawn, Ashley, what do you think about this next game?
I think it's awesome, and it's a great expansion of what was Until Dawn. I wouldn't want another sequel. I would rather have an original story. And just based on what I'm looking at right now as I'm watching the trailer, this looks even better than what Until Dawn looked like. And mm-hmm. it's very, very scary. So I don't think it's going to rely so much off of jump scares. More interested in Man of Medan, but... I think this is going to be awesome, and I'm glad more games like this are being made.
Yeah, holy crap, this looks scary. Brad, you won't play this, but I wish I could make you play it. Look, August 30th, 2019, guys, go pick it up. This might be something I'd be interested in playing on stream. So until then, get the heebie-jeebies and wait for August 30th, I guess. Let's go ahead and move on over here. This is interesting. Well, first of all, by the way, guys, the Mortal Kombat movie that's in development with James Wan producing, and I can't remember the guy who's directing it, but that's coming out in 2020. It already has a date for 2020. I just can't remember the proper date. I know the year, though. It's 2020 next year. But we have a new thing over here, because PlayStation opened a division to adapt their video games into films. And some of them that are already getting in development, is Just Cause. So John Wick creator joins the Just Cause movie as its writer from Eddie Makuch over at GameSpot.com. The Just Cause movie has been in works for nearly a decade, and now it's crossed another significant milestone. It's been confirmed that John Wick creator and writer for the film series, David Kolstad, has joined the movie as its screenwriter. According to Deadline, which first reported the news, the Just Cause movie will basically follow the foundation of the Square Enix action game series. Rico Rodriguez is on a race against time mission to stop the Black Hand, a lethal mercenary group, the site reported. The producers are looking to secure a director and a lead actor soon, with filming expected to begin in 2020. The Just Cause film is coming from the film company Constantine, which also made the popular Resident Evil series starring Mila Jovovich. Constantine is behind the upcoming Monster Hunter movie that also stars Mila Jovovich. It was previously announced that the Game of Thrones and Aquaman star Jason Momoa would play Rico Rodriguez, with Rampage director Brad Payne as set to direct. However, with Constantine now developing the film, it appears a new star and director are being sought. Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, writer John Coley was attached to write, but he appears to have been replaced by Kolstad. Wow, what do you... Damn, they lost Jason Momoa? That's a...
Damn, that would have been good.
Yeah, that really would have been good. By the way, I'm confusing the news about the film division and PlayStation, because this isn't a PlayStation exclusive game, but they did open their own production company to adapt their video games into films. What do we think about a Just Cause movie?
I didn't get to play that series too much, but I did play it a little bit. This could be interesting. What do you think, Brad?
I did play Just Cause 3, and it was a total blast. No pun intended. And you know, I mean, they could have thrown Michael Bay at this film too, and you know,
yeah,
probably would have worked.
Yeah,
explosions.
What do you think though, Brad? Do you think this could really work, or do you think that, damn, like, unless they have a really good cast member like Jason Momoa still on there, it'd be able to sell the movie?
I mean, video game movies, you know, out of all of them, really only Detective Pikachu has worked, so the odds are not in their favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, sadly, that's the odds are never in their favor. But look, this is something that I'd be interested to see, but not something I'm clamoring for. Hey, yeah, you. Yes, I am talking to you. What are you doing still listening to me? Listen to the ad. It's about to start. Go ahead and listen to this ad. Ashley, go ahead and take it away. Take it away! But when you told me that Jason Momoa would have been Rico Rodriguez, I would have been there for that. But now that you've lost Jason Momoa, I'm going to have to pay attention to see what else is coming. I'm actually more excited for the Mortal Kombat reboot than I am for this, because I feel like James Wan is producing the Mortal Kombat reboot, and, you know, he really hasn't disappointed me with the stuff he produces. But in this case, I'm going to have to see who's directing and who's going to star. Because even though the John Wick creator is pretty good, and he's made a really, really good, series, I don't know if that'll translate well over to Just Cause.
Definitely, and the just based on the content of this game, they could easily turn this into a very cheesy, terrible action movie, and that depends on who has, you know, the most creative control or who's actually running the show. But that's kind of my fear, is that it would just be really, really terrible and bland.
Yeah, that's my fear with any of these video game movies, if I'm being honest. But look, let's go ahead and go into the next piece of news. God of War celebrated a huge milestone because its sales exceeded 10 million from Eddie Makuch over at GameSpot.com. Sony has provided a new sales update for God of War PS4, and it's huge. The title has now sold more than 10 million copies, according to a slide from Sony's recent Investor Day briefing. The 10 million sales was shown to demonstrate the strength of Sony's owned franchises across platforms. As you can see, God of War franchise sales have grown across the entities of PS2, PS3, and PS4. The same is true for the Uncharted and Last of Us series franchises. So that is incredible, man. I mean, congratulations to God of War. Look at this little graph, man. All of the other games have sold way over, you know, what's it called? Way over 10 million. But you look at God of War, you know, the other series that really has been here since like PS2 days. And the one that has branched over three generations of consoles. And you look, the PS3 game, God of War 3, made how many? 92. Oh, that's a 92 Metacritic score. But it looks like it's like around 5 mil. And PS2 God of War 2 looks like it's way under 5 mil. And then God of War for the PS4 made over 10 mil already. That is incredible, man. And you look at PS3 Uncharted game, and it's a little bit under 10 million. And then the PS4 Uncharted 4 game made way over 10 million. While PS3 version of Last of Us sold a little bit under 10 mil. And then the PS4 version of Last of Us sold over 10 mil. Brett? What do you think about this? I mean, this is like a really big congratulations to Sony. They know how to make good games. But, yeah, do you find it surprising how, you know, the change of expanding, you know, kind of expanding over three generations of consoles here?
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell from PS2 to PS4, God of War has gained steam. But PS4's God of War was critically acclaimed. I mean, everyone loved that game. Mm-hmm. And I think this just proves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually,
Team did a really good job about maintaining consistency and mm-hmm. just focusing on making a great game, and it definitely shows. I mean, just the progression from PS2 to PS3 is outstanding. It's one of the most beloved series for a reason. I haven't played it too much. It's actually one of the few games that isn't, you know, hyped a lot. Or, I'm sorry, it's one of the few games that is very, very well loved that I have not played. Have you guys played much of God of War?
Oh, man, I played most of them except for the new one. I even played the one that was on the PSP. I love God of War.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really played a God of War.
Yeah, I'm PSP, a fan.
Actually.
I'm a fan. I think this is, honestly, man, when I think about God of War, when I thought about PlayStation and the exclusives, only two exclusives came to my mind as a young kid. Kingdom Hearts and God of War. So to see the progression it had since I was a kid from PS2 days to now is incredible. And I think that they deserve it so much because, you know, they make great games. They really do.
Definitely. I think a lot of companies can take note of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shout out to God of War. Good job on them.
Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and read the next piece of news. It's going to tell you guys how to get Glaceon and Leafeon on Pokemon Go from Kevin Nezabik over at GameSpot.com. This is mostly for me because I'm stuck on finding out how to do this damn thing. If you guys don't know who Glaceon and Leafeon are, they're the Gen 4 evolutions. They're one of the newest ones. So a new batch of Gen 4 Pokemon has arrived in Niantic's hit mobile game, Pokemon Go, in addition to Garchomp, Sharon, Hippodon, and a few other monsters originally from the Sinnoh region. Players can now finally get Glaceon and Leafeon, the long-awaited ice and grass-type evolved forms of Eevee. However, the way to introduce these evolutions is a little different than normal. To get Glaceon and Leafeon, you'll need to use Glacier and Mossy Lures, two new kinds of lure modules recently introduced to the game. If you're unsure of what those are or how the whole process works, we break down everything you need to know over here. So, Glacial and Mossy Lures are two new types of lures modules in Pokemon Go. Like standard lures, they can be placed in Pokestops and will attract certain kinds of Pokemon for a limited time. Glacial lures will draw in water and ice types, while Mossy Lures will attract bug, grass, and poison types. There are also magnetic lures, which will cause more electric steel, and rock Pokemon to appear. At the moment, the only way to obtain the new lure modules is to purchase them from Pokemon Go's in-game store. Oh, fuck you. Each one costs 200 coins and works for 30 minutes when activated. In the future, Niantic says the new lures will also be distributed as rewards for completing special research tasks. How do I evolve Eevee into Glaceon and Leafeon? In order to evolve Eevee into one of the Gen 4 forms, you'll first need to either place a Glacier or Mossy Lure in a Pokestop, or visit a stop where one there is already active. As their name suggests, the Glacial Lure will allow you to evolve Eevee into Glaceon, while the Mossy Lure will allow you to evolve of an active evolve into Leafeon. If you're within range of an active Glossy or Mossy Lure, go to Eevee's detail screen and you'll have the option to evolve it into its corresponding evolution. Are there ways to get Glaceon and Leafeon? If you don't have enough coins to spring for a Glossy or Mossy Lure, you can obtain Glaceon or Leafeon by employing the Eevee naming trick. As Serby details, if you give your Eevee a specific nickname, it'll evolve into one of the forms when powered up. Nickname it Linia to evolve into it into Leafeon, or nickname it Rhea to evolve it into Glaceon. That's what I'm going to do. However, this trick appears to work only once, so you'll need to get your hands on a Glaceon or Mossy Lures if you're hoping to add more Glaceon and Leafeon to your collection. No, thank you. I just want one. All right. Cool. That's for you guys, and for mostly for me. So if you guys want to get some, you know, you got to go and do that. Ashley, will you be evolving your Eevees into one of those?
Definitely. I was actually looking up how many coins I had right now. I don't have that much. I have to drop a Pokemon in a gym somewhere. But this looks very similar to how you used to have to obtain the psychic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. You can only use it one time, and then you were kind of like, okay, well, that's it. But this is awesome. I can't wait for Glaceon. I want that one.
Yeah. So you're something's telling me that you're going to do the name trick.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing. I love doing the name trick.
Yeah, I love the name trick, too. I'm currently checking my Eevees to make sure that that I have good ones. Yeah, I got two Eevees in here that I can evolve. So pretty cool stuff around there. Brad, I know you don't play Pokemon Go, so I'm not going to ask you shit.
Sweet. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. And I believe, yeah, this is the last piece of news, and it's about the long-awaited PS5, man. And Brad, you want to go ahead and take this one?
Sound good. This comes from Eddie McCooch, my favorite. From GameSpot. PS5's faster load time shown in new video. The PS5 is coming. Thank you, Mr. McCooch. Sony has again provided some new details on it. What?
Come on the show.
Yeah, right? We need to find his email. If anybody knows Eddie McCooch's email, email us. The email. Moving on. Sony has again provided some new details on its next generation console. As part of Sony's corporate strategy meeting today, the company discussed at a high level what it hopes to achieve in the future across its various business units, including PlayStation. The two keywords for PlayStation going forward are immersive and seamless, Sony said. Concerning hardware, Sony said its next generation console, the PlayStation 5, will offer an immersive experience created by dramatically increased graphics rendering speeds. This will be made possible through the employment of further improved computational power and a customized ultra-fast broadband SSD, Sony said. Big words. Overall, the PlayStation 5, or whatever Sony ends up calling its new console, offer experiences that greatly exceed what's possible on PS4 and PS4 Pro. Sony said people can expect completely transformative and immersive gaming experiences on the PS5. One of the features that PlayStation system architect Mark Cerny talked about for the PS5 is how its use of solid-state drives will reduce loading screen times. Thank God. Finally, Cerny pointed out that the fast-travel loading screen in Spider-Man on PS4 took roughly 15 seconds on a PS4 Pro, but less than 1 second on a dev kit for the PS5. Given that the new hardware will be backwards compatible with older games, that means your load times will likely be reduced across the board when you upgrade. Check out the video below from the Wall Street Journal, yada, yada, yada. Cerny also talked about how the PS5 will allow for faster rendering, which means more environmental objects and textures will populate at a faster rate. In the presentation today, Sony said the PS5 will offer many new features. Beyond these advancements to loading and rendering, though, none were mentioned. Also during the presentation, Sony said it expects PS4 to reach sales of 100 million units by the end of the 2019 calendar year. PS4 sales currently stand at 96.8 million systems sold. PlayStation Network has 94 million monthly active users, the company said. Additionally, Sony management talked about how streaming will play a big role in the PlayStation brand going forward. The PS5 will support remote play functionality, Sony confirmed, while management also said it's looking to its new deal with Microsoft for cloud gaming solutions to play a role in the company's future success in that area. Sony, of course, already operates the PlayStation Now streaming, which has 700,000 subscribers by Sony's latest count, but it appears the company has bigger and bolder plans in the future. Sony's not attending E3 2019 next month, so the company presumably won't be announcing the PlayStation 5 there. The PlayStation 5 will have an appealing price point, given its specs according to Cerny, but there's no ballpark estimate yet regarding what the price may be.
Thank you for giving me enough time to get my computer charger, Brad.
You're welcome.
All right.
Perfect.
Yeah, this is crazy, man. I mean, we're already getting details on this console. I like the idea of faster loading times because that's going to help a lot. And the fact that we're going to get an SSD is great, too. Ashley, your opinions?
I'm really just about to go into that, but I didn't want to cut anyone off. Sorry. I like how this is looking. I mean, it's really hard to tell off of a really low quality trailer. But I like the progression. I like the update on the specs. Makes more sense now as to maybe why Sony is skipping E3. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait. I love PlayStation.
Yeah. They know how to get us, honestly.
Yeah.
I like how they keep using the word immersive. And if I don't get a Sword Art Online kind of thing and I just get stuck in a video game, I won't be happy.
Well, Brad, some of us don't want to get stuck in a... Some of us don't want to get stuck in a shitty anime, okay, Brad?
I didn't say anime. I said video game.
Sword Art Online.
A shitty anime.
Alright, so that's that, and we're going to go ahead and head into some sales. Memorial Day weekend is this weekend, guys, so that means sales. And,
Sale.
Okay, so we got some games on sale for the PS Plus. What's going on with my screen? Okay, I'm going to videos. Why am I going to videos? PS Plus has some... PS Plus members going to get twice a discount, but there's some games on sale over here at the PlayStation Store. All right. Oh my god, these are a lot of them. So these are going to be the prices with the PS Plus discount, guys. So I'm going to read only the ones that I think you guys would be interested in. And no, I'm not giving you my damn email address.
Oh, come on, Raul.
Okay. A little.
All right.
We all know it's lightandlover69@gmail.com.
Yeah, you wish. Battlefield 4, $4.79. Bioshock, $4. Bioshock The Collections, $14.39. Borderlands, $4. Borderlands Game of the Year Edition, $19.79. Borderlands 2, $4. Burnout Paradise Remastered, $4.79. City Skylines, $12. The Crew, $7.49. Dirt 4, $12. Dirt Rally 2.0, $30. Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition, $10.39. Dragon Age Inquisition Game of the Year Edition, $9.59. Dragon's Dogma Dark Horizon, $18. Fae, $4.79. Grand Theft Auto 5, $15. Just Cause, $4, $30. Lego The Incredibles, $12. NBA 2K19, $19.19. No Man's Sky, $25. Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare 2, $2. Shadow of the Tomb Raider, $30. Tom Clancy's The Division, $10. Unravel 2, $4.79. Witcher 3, The Wild Hunt, $12. Witcher 3, Wild Hunt Complete Edition, $15. Ooh, damn. I wish I was getting paid this week. That's actually a really good price for Witcher 3. Let's go ahead and see what else is over here with the Warner Brothers sale. The Arkham Collection is at $30. Arkham Knight is at $10. Arkham Knight Premium Edition is $18. Arkham VR is at $14. Return to Arkham is $10. Hitman HD Enhanced Collection is $30. Injustice 2 Legendary Edition is $24. All the Lego games are pretty much $8, except for Marvel Super Heroes 2 Deluxe Edition, it's at $14, and Mad Max is at $7, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor Game of the Year Edition, $12, Shadow of Mordor, $17.49, Mortal Kombat XL is at $10, Mortal Kombat 10, Combat Pack 2 at $10, these are a lot of things that are on sale, guys, but $10 for Return to Arkham. That's the remastered of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. Is an amazing price, and you should definitely pick that up for $10. Brad, what do you think? What do you recommend for the people?
Witcher 3 Wild Hunt Complete Edition, $15. That is amazing.
That is as low as it gets.
That will give you many hours of gameplay.
Yeah.
Basically, pick that up.
It's always at $20. So if you have a PS Plus, you get that $15 discount. I think that's the best you can do right now. Ashley, what do you
awesome.
What are you recommending?
Anytime I see Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor on this, I always gravitate towards it. The Game of the Year edition for $12 is pretty cool. Also, I would say Hitman HD, but I would kind of like that to be a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. The Lego games are a pretty dang good deal, too.
Yeah, at $8, all of them, except for the Marvel Super Heroes 2.
Yeah, that one's 14. That's still good. Those are very solid games, kind of underpraised, in my opinion. But yeah.
I remember playing Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith Lego version. It was better than the movie. So let's go ahead and
God, so good.
Yeah, it's Xbox One games are on sale over there at the Microsoft Store. So I'll give you guys the deets here. Amnesia Collection, $15. That's a scary game. Ark Survival Evolved, $20. Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, $8. Assassin's Creed Rogue, $9.99. Bendy and the Ink Machine, $10. BioShock, $8. Borderlands, $8. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, $3.15. Catherine for $10. City Skylines Xbox One Edition, $10. Darksiders 2, $3. Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition, $36. Far Cry 3, $8. Firewatch, $6.59. Gears of War, $7.49. Goat Simulator, $2.49. That's my pick. Hollow Knight Void Heart 2 Edition, $9.74. Inside, $8. Just Cause, $1. No Man's Sky, $37.49. Pillars of Eternity Complete Edition, $20. Red Dead Redemption, $9.89. Sega Vintage Collection Streets of Rage, $5. Sega Vintage Collection Toy Jam and Earl, $5. Skate 3, $5. Soma, $12. Super Hot, $15. Tacoma, $6. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Blacklist, $8. Wargroove, $17. Remains of Edith Finch, $10. The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings, Enhanced Edition, $23. Yoku's Island Express, $6.59. Can you guys answer me this? Why is Goat Simulator the best one to take right now?
Because goats, man.
Goats, man.
Goats, man.
We gotta rep. Man. We gotta rep Ashley's job at Goat with buying a game about goats.
Goats, man.
Heck yeah! I'm gonna buy this for $2.49.
You don't even have an Xbox.
Three for $5 is pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. You guys don't even. You don't even have an Xbox, Ashley. All right.
I'm a fan of goats.
I like goats.
Stop. I like goats. Stop, Brad. Stop.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Oh, yeah. That's my jam.
Damn it. I'm going to get copyright because of that. I'll go ahead and cut that out later. I just need to check the timestamp over here. Like around 52 minutes. Okay. All right. Good. That was terrible. I'm going to get copyright for that shit. Amazon's best games deals for Memorial Day weekend is here as well. So, thank you, whatever dubstep music that was. Dead Cells is on sale for $26.97. Okay, look, I'm going to go ahead and read the ones that you guys would be interested on.
I think I accidentally deleted the link. I think I accidentally deleted the link.
Well, Brad, just pay attention to what I'm saying here. Some of these aren't okay. Even sales. The Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim, $49.94. FIFA 19, $38.95. Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, $49.75. Just Dance, 2019, $20. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, $49.94. Mortal Kombat 11, $49.79. NBA 2K19, $20. New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, $45. Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, $45. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, $45. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, $49.94. This isn't even a freaking sale, guys. Come on. Let me see if I find anything that actually is a sale. Grand Theft Auto 5 for $15. Marvel Spider-Man for $35. Monster Hunter World for $18.15. On the PS4, by the way, guys. Yeah. Amazon, you call this a sale? These are all literally like around the same price. Like, they're not even like original price. Halo, the Master Chief Collection for Xbox One is at $26.20. Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 at $30. Brant, Sea of Thieves is on sale for $37. You might want to pick that up.
Holy shit, it finally is under $39. God bless.
And that's it, man. And that's it. We're going to go ahead and skip that. Amazon, if you think that's a sale, that's terrible. But the ones that I read out were the ones that I think that were a pretty good price. And if you're a PC player, then you can get some of these games on sale as well. And I swear to God, if this damn thing plays... Okay, cool. I was able to mute it.
It's going to be loud.
I was able to mute it, Brad.
It was loud.
Far Cry 5, $17.03. Soul Calibur 6, $17.95. And it comes with free Tira character DLC. For Honor Starter Edition 516. For Honor $13.76. For Honor Year 1 Heroes Bundle $17.28. For Honor Year 3 Pass $17.28. For Honor Marching Fire Expansion $12.90. Holy, that's a lot of For Honor stuff. Assassin's Creed Odyssey $25.80. Assassin's Creed Odyssey Deluxe Edition $34.40. Dark Souls 3 for $13.20. And Day 6 deals. They end on May 23rd. By the time this is already up. Excuse me. But I just want to remind you what you missed out on. Civilization 6 for $13.50. XCOM 2 for $11.85. Mafia 3 for $7.90. Yeah. What's that? What was the one I read first? Civilization 6 for $13.50. That's actually a pretty good price. Especially on PC.
Yeah, that's what I would take, just all those Civilization 6.
Yeah.
All of it.
Ashley? Did we lose her?
Oh, no, it just cut out. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know why you're sorry, Ashley. It was Raul's fucking...
Why am I apologizing?
Brad...
That was all very choppy. Yeah, my bad.
Brad, shut up.
My bad for not having better ears to hear through that.
So anything you're going to recommend, Ashley?
Not really, because there's not a lot that I did hear. It okay. sounded like that dubstep music that we're going to get copyrighted for.
I'm going to cut it out, okay? All right, let's go again and go into our discussion here because we're done. Look, last week we talked about a certain game that got a trailer for it, and they're going to have more news for us at E3. So I'm going to pose the question, because next week is our E3 preview episode. So that's going to be all E3 with a little bit of news, but mostly it's going to be our E3 preview episode. Brad and Ashley, that Final Fantasy VII trailer looked great, but I'm going to pose the question here. They're going to be at E3. I have two questions. What do you want to hear from them? What is the one thing, you know, I want, like a release date? Hey, we're almost done with the game. I can't give you a release date. What do you want to hear from them?
I just want an update.
I mean, I don't expect a date of any time soon.
A year.
I'm surprised we even got a trailer, you know. So I'm not expecting anything from Square Enix because I've learned not to expect anything from Square Enix through the years.
Yeah. I would like, not a date, a year at least. Say like 2021, 2022, or 2046. It doesn't matter. Give me a year that this is basically going to come out on. Or say like,
Bro, it doesn't matter when Square Enix tells you what year something's coming out. Because they're not going to hit it. They just aren't.
We've learned.
Those dates are just placeholders.
So, yeah, I mean,
it's just a lot of hope that Square Enix gives you, and you know that just murders the soul.
Yeah.
So it's so sad, but I don't want them to rush it. The trailer looked amazing. I think it's going to be really good and worth the wait. So just more footage, more gameplay. I would really like
that. That's what's it called? That's what I would like too. I just want more footage. I'm like, honestly, The Last of Us Part 2 has given us only footage with no release date, and still, after every E3 that they've shown us stuff, we're just, like, amazed and, like, having so much fun with it. Same thing goes for Death Stranding. We barely even know what the game is about. We don't even have a date for it. But every time they give us, what's it called, the footage for it, we're like, yes, 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 this is great. The next question is, what is going to happen? What do you honestly think is what's going to happen with this? Honestly, I'm going to go with what Brad's going to say. We're not going to get a release date. We're not going to even get a big update. They're just like, hey, we're still working on it. Here's some new footage, so that way you can shut up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be an ultra small spot of anything. It's going to be just something to tie anyone over. I kind of wish that Shenmue 3 would take another year. Just sidebar, just want to say that.
Mm-hmm. Any news on Shenmue 3?
And if Square Enix does give a date, they're lying. They're just absolutely lying.
At this
right
point,
to our faces.
let them just take as long as they want. I want them to take as much time as possible to get this perfect.
I would like to point something out. When they announced this game, I said this is the reason I'm going to get a PS4 because I want to play this and I want to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I've had my PS4 for 3-4 years already, man. Where's this game?
It's coming out for the PS6. You didn't hear?
Oh God, don't do that. I was about to say this one looks like it's going to be a lot better, a better experience on the PS5 whenever that does come out. I would not be surprised if they waited for PS5 to release this officially.
Can we blame them if they want to wait for the PS5, honestly?
No.
I want them to wait, actually, for the PS5, because, wow.
Yeah, and I mean, it looks great, and they've been putting out, like, little small videos right now, hyping up for E3. Part of me wants to believe that Square Enix wouldn't be hyping it this much right now if they weren't planning something, right?
Yeah.
Well, it took them 10 years for a trailer, so let's see what a full game accounts for.
Yeah. So I'm honestly preparing myself for the worst, but we're going to have a more in-depth discussion about this next week when we do our our E3 preview episode, because E3 is almost here in like 20 days, guys. So next week, next Friday, you will have the E3 preview episode, and then on the week after that, we'll have the E3, coverage. Basically, Friday, we'll probably talk about like the first day of E3, and then the week after that, we'll have the E3 roundup and talk about everything that happened at E3, what we were impressed by. But next week, we'll get like prediction stuff we're looking forward to. But right now, I really do hope that what Square Enix is planning to unveil at E3 this year with this game, it's not something that's going to low blow us. Like, not like a, yeah, you haven't heard from us at all. Here's nothing, just some new footage. Because that would really be a low blow to the fans that have been waiting for this.
Yeah,
well, anything they do has to be better than PlayStation, who isn't up.
That's true. Very good point.
Yeah. Damn it, Brad. Okay. So, that's been the episode of the Game Record. That's where I'm going to go ahead and cut it out already. Because these two have they've been wanting to talk nonsense, and they've been being little jokesters here. But you know, where can they find you?
I was totally being serious throughout the whole damn episode. What are you talking about?
Shut up, Brad. Where can they find you, Ashley?
Speaking a lot of truth. Where can they find us, everyone?
Well, they can find me at RandomGerm101. Everywhere.
Awesome. You could find me under Callie's Worst Dancer on Instagram, X Artemis with the 3X, and then on the Ladies of Nerdcore every week.
Every Thursday at 8 a.m. CST.
Every Thursday.
Yeah. And you already know where you can find me, Twitter and Instagram, at The Nerd Chicano, and don't add me on Facebook. But join the Facebook group, the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group, by going to www.facebook.com/group/TheNerdcoreCORPS. Follow the Nerdcore on Twitter at @TheNerdcore_, Instagram at @TheNerdcore, the Facebook page at @TheNerdcorePods. Go and do all that stuff. Follow us and talk to us about games and movies and stuff. And yeah, it's going to be a fun time. And as always, it's been a pleasure to do this for you all. And I'm glad that this episode was good and it wasn't terrible internet, even though on their end, I was probably sounding terrible. But in the meantime, Brad, send him into the podcast void.
All right, Raul, thank you for being host as always. Your internet was actually not bad this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry. Thank you, Ashley, for being a great co-host. Carrying Raul is a difficult job, and you make it easier.
Shut the fuck up.
I look forward to it every week.
Thank you to all our listeners. Thank you to all our Patreon supporters. You make us better, and we truly appreciate it.